Again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to do a commentary on day 30. I'm going to start with that verse at the top, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." The first part of that verse, be self-controlled and alert. I am so grateful for the indwelling Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it speaks about that. It says that, I do not have a spirit of timidity, but I have a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I'm able to have self-discipline because of that spirit that is in me. And that spirit has been placed in me once I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I accepted him for who he is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the Son of God. He is everything that the Bible says he is. And when I realized that when I realized that I could not get into heaven without him, and I made that profession of faith with my mouth, his spirit came to live in me, and I'm very grateful for that. And that spirit is the power behind my ability to be disciplined. And so I'm very grateful, and regardless of what the devil says about the ability or inability to stay abstinent, I know that ability has been given to me as a Christian. I have the ability to be very self-controlled in my eating. And again, it is not my power that does it. It is the power of the Lord. And I also have the ability to be alert. Because since I have made that about face, since I am no longer walking in the way of the world, I have an enemy. And that enemy is not flesh and blood. The Bible is clear about that in Ephesians in chapter 6, 12 and 13. It says that that my enemy is not flesh and blood. You know, it's the rulers, the authorities and powers of the dark world. And so people are not my enemy. And I have, though, wasted much time resenting and competing. God needs my compassion, and he needs my prayers. He needs me to be compassionate and prayerful for my brethren and not be full of bitterness and, trying to compete with them. That is what the devil would love for me to do, to be fighting with my sisters and brothers in Christ. What I've been called to do is to gather, and not to scatter, but to gather those who are also believers in the Lord Jesus. And so I need to know the true enemy. And the true enemy is the evil one and the minions, his demons that he has working and lurking around. And the overeating, and again, is spiritual warfare. The devil knows that he cannot snatch me out of the hand of God, but he can certainly keep me focused on minor details. I have seen people even come into rooms of recovery, and because they will not make a commitment to a food plan, they end up spending much time looking for a food plan. The truth of the matter is that there is no perfect food plan. There's only one perfection, and that is the Lord himself. So, of course, the devil can definitely shoot holes into any food plan. But it is my observation that there are many beautiful ways to abstain. And it takes a commitment sometimes to even see how beautiful a plan is. It takes time to see how wonderful a particular plan is. And again, there's not just one plan. There are many out there. A lot of times when I think of people trying to find a food plan, I think of it in terms of what I've learned in marriage. You know, after I got married, there was a period where I started questioning my choice. It was like, did I make the right decision? Maybe there was somebody else that was more, you know, more perfected to me. And I have found over the 35 years that I have been married that there is a quote-unquote no perfect person out there, because I'm not perfect either. You know, he didn't marry the perfect one either. But I also know that I do love him and I am committed to him. And as I work on that commitment, the love actually grows. And the same thing I find about my food plan. I could certainly go chasing after somebody else's plan. But whatever plan that I'm on, even if I, quote, found a better way, it's still going to take time for me to learn that plan. And so I'm very grateful that the Lord is teaching me to drink water out of my own cistern, as it says in the Bible. I'm learning to enjoy what he has given to me in terms of my plan, because that is just, that's just the jumping off point sometimes, you know, is, okay, all right, I have a way to eat in a God-honoring way. Now, let me focus on building my relationship with the Lord now that the food is down. The plan is so that the food can be down, you know. The plan is so that I can get on with growing spiritually and not be fooled by the enemy, because the enemy will want me to, again, run after every whim, everything that comes my way, but to be very focused on what the Lord has already given to me. The third part of that verse that I like to pick up on says about the devil, is that he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I don't have to be fearful of that fact. God's power in me is stronger than evil. And I don't need to ignore the devil or to fear him or to make him even bigger than my redeemed life. The Bible tells me in Hebrews 12:2 to fix my eyes on Jesus, because I find personally that whatever I focus on, it becomes bigger. And so if I focus on the Lord, if I fix my eyes on him, he becomes bigger. He becomes stronger in my life because I'm focusing on him. And what I have to learn from this verse, though, is the devil does try to devour me and keeps me surprised, you know, and I don't have to be surprised. You know, when torrents of rain occurs, I can press on. I don't have to eat. God is with me and he shows me the way out. I remember listening to a tape one time by AA, a woman in AA, and she would say, you know, when it becomes so important that I have to drink about it, it's too important. And I can say that about my food. You know, when it comes so important that I feel I'm going to have to eat about it, forget about it. You know, I am not going to eat about it. It's too important. And it's my ego that thinks that I need some extra food in order to cope. You know, I'm not that person anymore. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all this is from God. You know, he has reconciled me to himself through Jesus. And he has given me a ministry of reconciliation. And this is in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. I have a ministry given to me. There is a dying world. There are people out there who don't even know about Jesus. They don't know that he can come back in the twinkling of an eye and they will be eternally lost. Eternally lost. And the devil would love for me to be so focused on my stuff that I have no opportunity to change the world through the Lord. And I don't want to do that today. In the reading, it says, as long as I have breath, I will have to deal with the devil trying to bring me down. The devil wants to kill and destroy. He is really that thief that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. Jesus says that, you know, he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And that's exactly what he wants to do. God has given me a gift, and the devil is going to do all he can to stand in the way of it being manifested. And later on in that paragraph, it talks about what I call the domino effect. You know, that the devil sometimes doesn't tempt every day. He waits for the big moment. And later on, like I said in that second paragraph, that sometimes the big moment is after a time of success. That used to happen to me with my food. I would have periods where, it would be something real heavy happening in my life. And I would breeze through it, and I would feel like, you know, that I had won a big tournament and felt the king of the hill, and I would sit on the top and just be so grateful, you know, so happy. And then boom, you know, the real temptation would come, and I wouldn't see it coming. And so I have to know, again, that he's a crafty one, and he's a liar. And so I have to always be alert that I never know when he will start his little craziness again. And the thing is that part of my recovery is passing it on to others. And so those who come behind me, those that the Lord has given to me, they are in danger when I am not vigilant. Because if the demon would get me to the point that I would feel that I would have to pick up, then those who love me, those who follow me, those who come behind me, they will be hurt. And I don't want that today. I really don't. And if you are in this, if you can hear my voice right now, I would ask you, please, please, pray for me and pray for this ministry. I'm very grateful that the Lord has kept me abstinent so many years. He has done that for me. But I never take it for granted. I can tell you that each morning finds me on my knees, praying, giving thanks to the Lord for the abstinence that he has given to me, and praying for that willingness to be abstinent today. And will you please partner with me? Pray that I will never outlive my abstinence. I don't want to do that. And pray that I will always give him the praise for everything that he does, especially in building this ministry of those who know him and have histories of struggling with overeating. Because it is a subtle foe. Since we have to deal with our eating every day, we need each other. We need a community. We need accountability. It's so easy to forget that we are not beyond being tempted and returning to our former ways. And as I end this commentary, I want to just direct you, if you have the book, to look at the digging deeper section at the end of this reading. In the middle bullet, the second bullet says, have you been careless in your abstinence lately? And are you maintaining the vigilance that you once had when you were first counting days? Have you forgotten the weakness of your flesh regarding compulsive overeating? And again, you know, I'm not beyond temptation. And so I pray to be vigilant with my food and to be vigilant in my walk with the Lord.